Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Looking for something sweet and a little different? Discover Michoacana Corinth Ice Cream Shop. Everything is made fresh in-house, from rich, creamy ice cream to refreshing agua frescas and handcrafted popsicles. And yes, they are on DoorDash. Michoacana Corinth Ice Cream Shop. Homemade flavor in every bite.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Tuesday edition of the podcast. We're always glad that you are here. SEC spring meetings going on right now. Pete Golding did not speak today. The assumption is he will at some point this week. Most of the coaches did around the league. A lot of interesting things came out. John Summerall not taking shots at anybody, but kind of seemingly took a bit of a shot at somebody. Mike Elko, I know he couldn't care less about this part, but it gained a lot of respect out of me for what he had to say today about playoff expansion, and really liked Mike Elko's perspective today. Kirby Smart talking about breaking away. There's a lot that has been going on. Pete Golding has yet to speak. What will he say or what should he say? Nothing. And I'll explain what I mean by that coming up. Of course, I assume you guys are going to have some comments, whether it be about baseball or about the possibility of fines and stuff like that. We'll get into all that on this edition of the show. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search the name. It's all you got to do. Rebel Report is what it's called. And wherever you get your podcast, just search there, subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Also right here on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell, all that good stuff. I would really appreciate that. And this edition of the show is brought to you by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi. Wherever or whatever you need for your property, your hunting land, your farm, or just for your home projects around the house, around the garden, in your yard, they've got everything, and I mean everything that you can think of, under one gigantic roof off of Tom Watson Drive right there, just outside of Tupelo is where they're located, but literally everything under one roof. And most importantly, though, if you need a John Deere, if you want to look at a John Deere, they've got 0% on all of these. 0% financing on all of these. Zero-turn mowers, 36 months. Five-series tractors, 84 months. Compact tractors, 72 months. Commercial mowers, 36 months. All 0%, all John Deere, America's tractor. And if you want a Gator for your neighborhood or for your property, your hunting land, just 1.9% for 36 months. Go to Scruggs. Tell them that it was me that sent you. Again, anything, it's a gigantic store, huge building, anything you need under one roof for farm, lawn, and garden. It's in the name for a reason. Go check them out and tell them that it was me that sent you there. Okay, SEC spring meetings. Ole Miss was a topic of conversation for both Sark and Kiffin today. Kiffin, of course, yet again, talking about leaving Ole Miss, and had some quotes today about it. Frankly, him behind the podium today, totally fine. Just you kind of hear it, nod your head, move on. But more articles keep coming out. One in the USA Today where he thinks that they would have made the national championship game had Ole Miss let him stay coaching. Pete Golding's better in the booth, even though Golding himself has said that he is not. He'd rather be on the field. All that. So that is happening again. There was another article where he was defending the stuff that he said in Vanity Fair, that people misconstrued what he was saying, that it wasn't actually him that said it, that it was somebody that said it to him. And it's obnoxious is what it is. And I know that a lot of you are just kind of fed up and tired of it. And it seems like most of the country, it just rolls their eyes and doesn't. It's a nuisance is what it's become, but it's just a thing that keeps getting talked about and rehashed and relitigated over and over and over again. And the more that it happens, I think I've said this to you guys before, but again, you had another round of it today. The more that it happens, the more Ole Miss's strategy of not saying anything at all was the correct one. And so what should Pete Golding say tomorrow? Because he's going to be asked mostly about two things. I think, anyway. Now, they're going to get playoff questions and stuff, and I'm sure he'll get John David Baker questions or whatever. But whenever he gets behind a podium, he's going to be asked mostly about what Lane Kiffin has said about his program and him. And he's going to be asked about Luke Ferrelli and that situation. When the Kiffin Vanity Fair stuff gets brought up to him, whenever that happens, it is such an easy answer for Pete Golding. And the answer is, you don't acknowledge it at all. Here, if I am Kyle Campbell, I'm crafting my answer for Pete Golding, and it's going to sound a little something like this. Question. Hey, Coach, you know, Lane Kiffin had some comments in Vanity Fair where he brought up racism that your program faces, claimed that that was a hindrance in recruiting. Do you have any comments on what Lane Kiffin has said recently about your program or about you? Well, I don't really have time to focus on what other people are saying about my program. I have enough on my plate as it is right now that I need to focus on, so I can't really worry about that. All I will say is if somebody wants to have an idea of what we are, I would encourage them to come visit, and they will see for themselves that whatever narrative may be out there isn't true. All they have to do is show up and see it for themselves, and I think there's proof in the way that we've recruited in both in high school and in the transfer portal that proves that to be the case. So other than that, I got no comment on anything else. It's not worth my time. I'm focused on my football team. Done. That's it. That's all I got to say. And then anytime, I think that was pretty good, right? Anytime it gets brought up again, you just revert back to that. I already told you guys, I'm not focused on that. I don't have time for that. Got any questions about my football team? And that's how you do that. That's how you do that one right there. Done. That's what you say. And you just move on there. With the Ferrelli situation, I'm a little bit interested, more interested in that one, because I don't think the first time, the only time he's really been asked about it in a press setting, and I don't think he got the best answer in the world. Not that you're necessarily owed one. It's still an ongoing process. You don't want to give too many details away about your defense strategy and things like that. But as you guys know, there's an article in ESPN outlining that the NCAA is requesting private, like personal phone records from Ferrelli and Golding and a handful of other people as well. I don't know what their power is to try to get an individual that has no agreement with them's private phone records. I can't imagine they're legally allowed to do that. And if they try to do that, or they try to hold eligibility over your head until you give them your private non-university, especially as the student athlete, I imagine that would be handled and quickly litigated. But I would like to hear more of a defense from that than what you got, which was there's two sides to every story, and that was kind of the dismissal. But maybe they're employing that same don't talk about it publicly and let the others, you know, let it go away type strategy. Because with the Kiffin deal, the more he talks, the more everybody else is fed up with it, right? The more people are rolling their eyes, not taking him seriously, the better you look. In this situation, the less you talk, the better you look. And that's something that I need to learn personally, hand up. That is definitely a quality that I need in my life. But that is one, maybe that they employ it with the NCAA Ferrelli situation as well. I still don't think that's going to go anywhere super significant. Maybe I'm crazy. I will believe it when I see it. Precedent tells you that, you know, the possibility of a one game or a suspension is on the table. But precedent also tells you that you get to pick and choose what games your coach misses and when. Shout out Michigan for that one. So maybe they keep employing that strategy. I understand if they continue to do that because it has worked to this point. Greg Sankey was asked about fines because there is the possibility that if you want to interpret SEC bylaws a certain way, that coaches are not meant to give disparaging remarks publicly about other member institutions. There's a couple of bylaws that allude to that. Sankey was asked about a fine for Lane Kiffin, his comments regarding Ole Miss. He said, quote, "You'll find out when everyone else finds out. I don't make those announcements at podiums." It's an interesting quote, because if nothing was going to happen, why would anybody find out? If you don't announce that you're not finding someone, you don't randomly just issue a press release and, hey, we're not going to find somebody for something, right? That doesn't make sense to me. So is he actually planning on doing something? Maybe I'm, that's how it reads to me, but I don't know. And then he also said he has had conversations with coaches about, quote, "expectations and care," end quote, from people in leadership positions. Here's another quote. "Those people in leadership positions need to function like leaders in their conduct and commentary." And again, he declined to say whether or not coaches are going to be sanctioned in any way. I don't know where I stand on that, to be honest with you. The Sark ones, I told you at the time, he said it wrongly, but he was trying to talk about classes that you have to take at the school in order to get a degree. Texas has a bigger threshold than other schools. He just said it terribly. He tried to walk that back today. I am far less interested in what Sark had to say, to be honest with you. Maybe that's a me problem. I just, Ole Miss is more lenient with the classes that you take at certain schools to get a degree. How terrible, right? It's not a thing. That the athletes certainly don't care about that. It's the other stuff that the SEC, and we said it at the time, they've got to get a grip on this. You already, no matter what, you're going to have a pretty emotionally charged game in week three, and everybody knows that. But the primary character in this story continues to, put a spotlight on it and shoot fireworks around it and light things on fire around it. He's fanning the flames, whatever expression and adjective you want to use. And you've got to get it under control. And I can't believe that it's taken this long for them to do so and address it. As you guys know, he hasn't tweeted in quite some time. Behind the podium today, he gave a rather innocuous and totally fine quote. Behind the podium today, and that was fine. So maybe the conversations have finally gotten to him. But between the look at how great my fan base fights to all of the articles, my God, the volume of articles in the explainer of what was explained in a different article and all this stuff, it's just it's too much. And I don't think a fine necessarily is the thing that Sankey needs to do, more so than just getting them under control, getting it under control and stopping it. Because you don't see, because this isn't like fun jab rivalry stuff. It's different than that. It's personal is what that whole situation has become. And you need to get the main character stop. So maybe a fine is the way to do it. Maybe it's not. I don't know. What finding somebody that's got $100 million contract, $100,000 is, it's like finding me a dollar, right? It's not going to be impactful. So I don't know, but it does feel like after yet another article came out between the social media and then what was said behind the podium today, at least temporarily, it feels like the message has been received. We'll see. I don't know. Your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance. Anywhere in Mississippi, and I mean anywhere. Auto, home, life, or insurance for your business. If you need any of those, give them a call. 601-823-3500. 601-823-3500. Logan Smith has got you covered. Again, anywhere in Mississippi, it's worth a phone call. Even if you already have insurance, what's a phone call going to hurt? It's not. Make it happen. Give him a call. He'll give you a quote. You'll love the services that he can provide for you. And tell him that I sent you. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day. 16 locations, local loan servicing and decision-making. It's in the name. Bank with me, switch, and bank at Priority One Bank. They will take care of you, again, at one of their 16 locations in Mississippi, and tell them that it was me when you go that sent you there. And also Advantage Business Systems, absms.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. One more thing. This is something that I've been talking about for so long, and it's finally happening. And the only reason why this is happening, by the way, is because the TV networks have told them to. I swear that's what it is, because the ratings in the second to last week of the season this past year were not good at all. But the SEC voted today, so the ADs voted today, that the Cupcake Weekend, the second to last week of the regular season in the SEC, has got to be conference games and conference games only. That is something that I have ranted about for years on the radio show, and I'm so glad that we are finally at the point where we're getting rid of this horrendous weekend. I have proposed an idea that every non-conference game other than your Power Four games to protect the rivalries, Louisville, Kentucky, Clemson, South Carolina, all of your non-Power Four non-conference games have to be completed before the end of the month of October. So no more final month playing a SoCon team, with all due respect to my Furman Paladins. It's unacceptable what the SEC has allowed to happen for years. They're finally getting rid of it. I mean, this year, for example, if this rule were in place, this year would be protected. But this is the second to last week of the regular season, when the games are supposed to matter most, when they're supposed to feel the biggest, when they're supposed to matter most. Here's what you got on the schedule: Chattanooga at Alabama, Samford at Auburn. Chattanooga and Samford are on the schedule. Wofford is on the schedule. They're at Ole Miss. Tennessee Tech is on the schedule. They're at Mississippi State. Arkansas is on the schedule. They're at Texas. I mean, you got cupcakes here in the second to last week of the season. That's just unacceptable. And in years past, it's been a lot worse than this. And so I am very glad that they're putting an end to it. It's been an embarrassment in college football. The last weeks of a season are supposed to be the biggest games that matter the most, not this crap. And I'm glad that it is going away. I will say, though, one caveat: because the Egg Bowl is going to be played on a shorter week, they are pushing to get the week zero to have two bye weeks. Ole Miss and State should have a bye week before the Egg Bowl moving forward, if that's going to be the case, because they're playing on a short week. So having Wofford and Tennessee Tech helps kind of get healthy and stuff for the short week. So I would like to see that as part of this. But in the meantime, good. They got something right. I'll give them credit. They got something right, and I'm happy to see that. So anyway, a few of your comments. I know it's kind of like a brand at this point. That I say we're going to end early, and we never do, but we are going to end pretty early tonight. So we'll get to a few of your comments, and then I got to split. But I appreciate you guys being here. Hey, Larry, what's up? James says, hottie totty in the chat. What's up, James? Glad to see you. All I say is there's a reason LSU let him hire Coach O. See, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, though. That kind of thing, there's no trophy for being the classiest. To LSU's credit, they're all in on winning. They're all in on winning. Look at what Will Wade in the unethical roster that he's building. But who cares? His job is to win. He doesn't owe it to anybody. It's not his job to protect the game. It's his job to win. That's what he's getting paid millions of dollars to do. You can't. Unfortunately, maybe it shouldn't be this way, but it is this way. The stakes are too high. The money's too great. The contracts are too big. Do whatever you can do, whatever it takes to win. That is what matters most. because being the good guy at 8-4 doesn't keep your job. It just doesn't. Being the good guy in the NIT doesn't keep your job. So until we have real leadership that steps in and really gets the sports under control, you have to live lawless in a lawless society. It is. The season episode that came out today is really good. I have yet to watch it, but I will. It's funny how the NCAA tries to go after Ole Miss when others are doing the exact same thing. The Duke quarterback prime example. Yes, I mean, of course, that happened, and tampering is rampant, as we talk about all the time. But, you know, no other coach has sat behind a podium and directly accused another coach the way that Dabo did. So it is, it's different because Dabo treated it differently. I'm still not, again, like I said, I'm still not thinking that anything significant is going to come out of that. Part of me wonders, too, by the way, why the energy from Clemson has changed some. It was super mad, super aggressive, call out, blah, 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 and then that energy has completely evaporated. Why is that? And that started right around the time people started trying to FOIA Clemson's side of the back and forth. I don't know. Maybe I'm connecting dots that aren't there. Did you ever play basketball and were you good at a young age? No, I wasn't. We had church league basketball. I think you guys have that here, don't you? But no, I wasn't any good. I played though, right up until middle school, but no, I wasn't any good. I played literally every sport in the book though. I mean, I was on three teams at once. Basically all year long. I even played hockey. We had a hockey league growing up, but I was on. I did soccer. I did baseball. I did basketball. I did football. I did golf. I did hockey. I did it all. Just wasn't like super good at any of them, but I did them all. Any update if they're still entertaining other apparel companies? I think that's going to play out for a while. I don't think you're going to get an update. Anytime soon on that, to be honest with you. I think that'll take some time. I am more curious about when the North End Zone Stadium project is going to be narrowed down and figured out, because that was supposed to come in May, and May's almost over. So I am looking forward to seeing what that's going to look like. The stadium needs a lot of work. It really does. I've said stuff like this on the radio show, and our radio audience gets mad at me. And it's in part, I understand why, because you have grown to love a place, and the building means so much to you that sometimes you can't, you know, see it for what it is. Vaught Hemingway is a dump. It's an eyesore on a beautiful campus. The four different sides, ADs that had no foresight in what they chose to do with the stadium. It needs a lot of work, and so I'm looking forward to seeing what this project looks like and what they're going to do, because the project wasn't just the North End Zone. I mean, they had mapped out like the area around the stadium. So what's going to happen and what's that going to look like? Because it needs it badly. It needs a facelift. It needs a lot. It needs to get blown up and rebuilt, but obviously that can't happen. So we'll see. I mean, it's a money deal. That's why they're doing it this way. That's why they're not doing a capital campaign, because all the money that would come from a capital campaign would be better spent to go pay the players, you know? So you're already stretching your fan base really thin. So the strategy to get the money to do this is excellent. I'm just curious to see what the plans are, you know? All for the underdog, but that's just bad TV. I'm glad it's going away too. I guess RIP to the Furman versus Ole Miss rivalry. Yeah, I mean, you guys know me. I want the FCS games to continue because those programs need the money and they're very valuable. They're very important. They provide education. Like, the FCS programs actually do provide what college sports is supposed to be. Now, look, they have some players that get a little bit of money and they send some guys to the NFL sometimes, but that is a, like, that's a true college athlete experience at that level. They don't have 85 scholarships. They have 63. But those 63 guys of like the Furman team that went to Ole Miss, that's a good Furman program for that level. Like one or two guys were invited to mini camps, and I don't think any of them from that team made a roster. I mean, that's what you're talking about. They're actual, you know, student athletes, and those games help fund those programs that provide education, good free education to young athletes. It's a very important thing. I don't want to see those go away. Play those in September. Play those in September. Those don't belong in November, right? When the season is supposed to be at its crescendo. Keep pushing back. Fought Hemingway updates. I don't think they're pushing them back necessarily. I would be concerned, though, if there's nothing heard, you know, this time next month. I'd be like, okay, what's taking so long? You promised a timeline. It's so mismatched. It really is. Just no foresight. The press box is hideous, looking at it from the inside. They can just decorate that. That's why I keep talking about a ring of honor and stuff like that. But just needs work. Absolutely no reason why VHS can't be modernized and have the capacity increased to at least 75,000. I do think you are going to get a slight capacity increase, aren't you? We'll see what this project looks like. I am very curious. Some Ole Miss fans flip out as soon as you start talking about upgrading the stadium. Yeah, Benny, I'm very surprised. And, you know, this is going to sound flippant. I don't mean it to. I think it's there are a lot of people that have only really ever been or only really ever go to games in Vaught-Hemingway, which is great, by the way. I'm not disparaging you for that. But if you go to games elsewhere, you realize how far behind that stadium is compared to some others. Now, look, I've been to Neyland, and it was before they got some upgrades, but I hated Neyland. We were sitting way up high. The seats were thin. I had to, like, move my knees over because I was too big for the people in front of me and stuff like that. I mean, that was a tough place to watch a game. There's not great stadiums. Even the big stadiums in college football aren't super great, but there's a lot of great ones too. And when you go to those, you can kind of see how far behind the Vaught is. But again, that hasn't been priority in this era, rightfully so. Go get the players. They only play seven times a year in the stadium. The facility and the money is more important. Your fiance just wants better bathrooms. The concourses just need to be wider. You know, there just needs to be more space. The sold out games, it's really just hard to move around. The second level of them, I guess, need more space. Never been yet, so take what you say with a grain of salt, but I kind of like the old look of the Vaught. Sure, you're right up close. It ain't too pretty. Probably don't blow it up, though. Yeah, the existing structure, it's fine. It just needs a lot of updates. I do like bold stadiums as well. It does let sound out. It's a very flat stadium. It's not tall, so that allows for a sound to escape. What would be ideal, I think, is to have awnings. And this is so expensive, it would never happen. But awnings are a club section that goes all the way around to kind of help trap in sound. But the bowl look is very college football. And then Lambeau Field. But it's a very college football look. Just needs a lot of work. Ben Hill Griffin in Florida is a dump. It is a dump. It is a big dump, but it is one of those. So anyway, I told you guys I had to go. I got to go. I really appreciate you being here as always. We will. Should we go live on Thursday? No, we're not going to go live on Thursday. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go live Friday after the game. So I know I'm blowing up the schedule a little bit here, but that's what we're going to do. No live on Thursday. We're going to go live on Friday after the game. That's the plan. So, yeah, I'll see you guys Friday. Enjoy your night. I'll talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.